It's in the background as well because of my heritage, essentially.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so glad that I asked about it because I used to live in New York and came here to Vancouver. And one thing that I noticed is that just from my personal experiences, and I think my personal experience can represent a lot of fact, which is that Canadian people are just super well-mannered. They're just extra polite.
Yeah. I know people complain about, like, I think in Vancouver specifically, people are like, oh, it's like a, there's like a fake nice attitude in Vancouver.
And really?
I think there may be some truth to that, but at the same time, like, it is well-mannered, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
Like if someone stops by and says thank you when they get off the bus, like,
yeah
they might be performing,
no,
but
they
it's
say
still,
sorry, and they actually say sorry more than thank you.
That's true. Yeah.
I feel like it's really funny. It's like, oh no, you go, and then when I cross the street and then the car is kind of like waiting for me from like miles away, and I'm like, oh no, you go. And so sometimes I have to pretend that I'm watching my phone or something so that they know that I'm not ready to cross. So I mean, like, this is nice to have, right? So what to say, like, that to be said, I thought when you grew up here as a non-Caucasian kid, and because kids, they are still under education, they're still being educated of being included, being like embracing other cultures, right? So it could happen naturally that they only find people who look similar to them, who makes them feel more secure, surrounded. So that, I think that probably makes sense that you carry your lunchbox. Did you hide in the toilet as the
No, I was never that like to that level. It was more so just like I would just try to like, I would just hope no one would comment on it. And there'd always be like that one kid that would and be like, what is that? That looks weird. And like, and you know, you just kind of learn to like, to deal with it. Yeah. And I think, you know, growing up in like those areas as well, one thing that comes across is I think like there was like forms of prejudice or like racism that I faced that I didn't even like fully realize was going on until like after the fact. So like, you know, someone would say like a joke or something that, or like, you know, quote unquote joke that was like pretty offensive. And at the time, like I would just kind of roll with it and not think much of it. And then it was only like years later where I was like, oh no, like that was, like that really sucked, you know, like that didn't feel good to hear. But at the time, like it was almost like a defense mechanism to just like join in on like the on the people, you know, finding it funny and laughing, because like in your head, like, oh, that's how I fit in, is if I sort of like conform to that.
I mean, this topic or your experience just fits our show so perfectly because our show, although called Call Me Negotiator, but the core is really to serve the audiences who are not just Chinese people, not just Canadian people, who are actually from all different kind of affinities and all over the world. Even we have a really big group of audiences, Chinese audiences. A lot of them are living overseas. Some of them are living in Richmond, Vancouver. So I think, you know, as an immigrant, it's really not easy, no matter if you're an adult or a kid. So for an adult, they came here later on, they realize they don't have friend groups, they have to build everything from scratch. So, and at the same time, you have to carry on life, right? But as a kid, it seems like it's also not easy, and you must gain a lot of experiences and even some strategies to help yourself fit in the culture and be a multicultural or cross-cultural personality, isn't that?
Yeah, for sure. There is a degree of like, adhering to certain behaviors or actions. And you know, like as a kid, like I was definitely not like great. But yeah, like I think back to like my experiences growing up, and it makes me realize that like, yeah, there is so much adhering and wanting to fit in and that kind of serving as a defense mechanism in a way, because you just don't want to be the person that stands out or that gets like picked on in any way. Essentially, like that's what I would say. I definitely, as an adult, it's something I've reflected on a lot more, because I think when you're in the thick of it, you don't realize it fully. Mm. It was only until, like, I think I started going to university and I started meeting, like, so many different people from so many different parts of the world that, like, I realized, I'm like, wait, like, I don't, like, it's not normal to get treated like that, you know? Like, it's not normal for, like, people to make certain comments and kind of brush it off as, like, a joke, you know? I think, like, yeah, like, going into a very, like, diverse and multicultural space like SFU was really helpful in that regard.
Well, you mentioned about, I have two questions. Mm-hmm. The first of all, you mentioned about some kind of degree. So I would love you to elaborate about degree of, like, fitting in, or degree of digesting that offensiveness, or mm-hmm. what is that? And the second question is that, could you make some example of, like, what did you do to fit in, or to make yourself kind of escape from that insecurity?
Yeah. Again, I would say it was a lot of laughing at jokes that were at my own expense. So if, like, someone, you know, made a comment that was directed at me, like, I would be also, like, laughing at it, because, you know,
right.
like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm hip, I'm with it, like, I'm in that way. Or, like, say one example is, I remember there was someone that was like, hey, like, whoa, look at what she's eating, that's weird. And I, like, immediately recognized what she was eating as something as, like, that was part of, like, my culture as well. And I was just like, oh yeah, that totally is weird. And I was, like, 9 years old at the time, but, like, it still, for some reason, is, like, a memory in my head, because, like, it is, to in my mind, like, a very pure example of, like, yeah, that conformity that I think a lot of people of color deal with living in Western countries, is feeling like, yeah, you need to basically perform for white people in that way and to be accepted. This isn't like groundbreaking or new, but it is a common experience.
Wow, even in Canada, or even in Vancouver.
Oh, for sure. Like, yeah, like, you could definitely argue that things are better here for just due to the fact that there are so many cultures.
Mm.
But, like, it is still, like, a predominantly, like, the white Eurocentric kind of area at the same time. Yeah,
I mean, like, I kind of feel it when you say, when you're young, right, we're just naturally don't want to be excluded.
Mm-hmm.
So when other people are getting laughed at, sometimes we become the, you know, we don't want to become the victim.
Yeah,
but we are the victim and the how do you say that,
like, the perpetrator as well. Yeah,
yeah. So it's just kind of like, you feel like you hurt that person, but at the same time you feel guilty, and also we could feel like kind of bullied at the same time, although it's not talking to us.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yeah, often in not wanting to be bullied, you kind of become, like, that bully figure yourself, like, as a form of, like, defense. Just things like that growing up. I mean, I will say, like, I do love Vancouver as well as a city growing up here. You know, like, I grew up in North Vancouver, which is, like, a very, like, Iranian, Persian, like, centric area, or at least the area that I grew up in was, around, like, Central Lonsdale. There's so many Persian bakeries and restaurants and grocery stores and things like that. And I always felt really fortunate about that. I was, like, never, like, I always felt, you know, that was another way that I guess I felt a part of that culture, was that, like, the food and the stores and all that were always really prominent, and there was always so many other Persian people. So yeah, in a lot of ways, I'm really grateful for having grown up in Vancouver as well for that reason.
Yeah, actually, I feel as somebody who has multicultural background or cross-cultural background or experience like myself, I find it's not just hardships or challenges. It actually builds up the resilience. And back to what you say of, maybe to me, I would say I have different degrees of resilience overall, because when you're young and you suffer something and you got isolated or excluded, and then you got to carry it on, and then you find some way, and then when you are a little older or become it out. Like when we went to university, when we went to different countries, sometimes you feel like, oh, actually, I'm welcomed. Actually, I'm kind of popular. Yeah. And then you feel like, And when you miss something like in life, right? Let's say when we're trying to change to a new industry, then sometimes it could be the same experience of change from one culture or one country to another, because you have to adapt, you have to observe, you have to adapt, you have to negotiate for yourself, for others. And then that time you realize that, oh, this is what I did that worked or did not work back then.
Okay.
So that for me, actually, I sometimes feel like pretty good, or I don't know, I'm not always secure, but I think I have some isolated experience, like as a kid, like some group of people, although they were Chinese, I'm Chinese, but then the girls have some dramas. For some reason, I couldn't understand that why they like doing that.
And you grew up in China?
Yeah, I was born and raised in China.
Okay.
But I was more like a weird kid. Like, I obviously needed to improve my emotional intelligence. Where,
I mean, that's most kids, I think.
I don't know, but like girls were just like hanging out, and then they could be more empathetic for people who made mistakes of doing a project. But like I said, I was very conscientious. I was like, how can you be like that and make that mistake? You know what I'm saying? And I couldn't do that. And then people would just bully me, but bully me by, you know, like not playing with you. So I had that experience, I don't remember I was being miserable. I felt like maybe I did because it was a long time ago. But then I realized I was just like, I would just hang out by myself. Yeah.
So you like kind of learned how to...
Yeah,
like
hang out by myself.
Yeah, be comfortable, hang out. That's a good skill. I don't think I'm very good at that.
Oh, then what did you do? You're trying to fit in, I guess.
I mean, I, just outside of that, like I think I'm someone that like... Yeah, likes talking to people and likes meeting people and hanging out with people. I'm definitely not the type of person that can be alone for like a really, really long time.
Oh, I can't be alone by a really long
time. Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So like very like introverted kind of?
No, actually I'm like extroverted.
Okay.
But from the MBTI or personality test, there was a long period of time, like the previous few years, I thought I was introverted, but turns out I was just going through some valley time. You know, it's just like, oh, hardships. And I was moving from one country to another. And when I came to Vancouver, I literally knew zero people. And people were like, you're so brave. But actually, I did not think like that. I just, normally my mindset was like, this is what I wanted to do. And this is the way to do it. And I go there. And then when I got here, and I realized, oh, it's very challenging.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like I've never had that experience of like moving to a new place and not knowing anyone. Like that must have been like incredibly difficult.
Yeah, I mean, like obviously I have so many stories to share as well. That's why this is not just an interview style. It's more like conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Conversational style show. That's somehow I realized that. I also actually learned so many lessons and skills and tips and strategies because I had to deal with that life. You know, when I came to Vancouver and I realized, oh, this place is really challenging, I thought it's a developed country, everybody is good, so it should be fine. But although we still have to deal with a lot of emotional change, and I have to also find my new career path by adopting all those different kind of knowledge from different industry, right? However, I always think back from where in China we went through like Gaokao, which is like Chinese SAT.
Okay.
So that was like really tough. Like, so I was like, wait, actually went back then, the life was a lot harder. At least now I don't have to deal with that. And I also remember when I was living in the Middle East. That was my first job. Yeah, I used to live in the Middle East for 2 years.
Where in the...
It was Doha, Qatar.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
What? I'm sorry, because you mentioned...
Take a minute to digest.
Yeah, you mentioned New York, and then you mentioned Vancouver, and then you mentioned Qatar. I guess what is the... What is the timeline there? Like,
oh, I guess, you know, ever since then, I'm going to have a 90-second pitch for my show each time to introduce my kind of wild experience. So basically, I was born and raised in China, okay. Chengdu, China, right? And I barely went out of my own city. And then I got my first job from Qatar Airways. I was trying to be an international student in UK. I was trying to enroll in the law school. However, I wasn't sure because I don't think, you know, law school is really where I should end it. And then I got this opportunity. For some reason, they took me. So my English was really crappy. And then they said, you have to improve. So I took that offer. I went to the Middle East. My first job, first time live outside of my hometown was in the Middle East. And then with a huge language barrier. And yeah. Also, I kind of sort of get isolated by other people. Not because they're trying to bully me or anything. It's because they have like their own culture or people, so they hang out with their people. And I happen to have like, I'm the single one who was from Chengdu, so I had to deal with a lot of things. And the company was super disciplined and strict. So I was like so stressed. And then you couldn't go hang out, like you couldn't go do some sports, like hang out with friends, because that was desert. So yeah, like, so I had a really hard time there. And then I went to New York to continue my study. That was the original plan, but wasn't not law school no more. And then after New York, I came here.
Okay.
So every time when I miss something hard, I'm like thinking about back then I was in the, you know, Middle East, or I was doing like Gaokao, the Chinese SAT. Things were a lot harder, and also it built me resilience, because it builds me this kind of a neural pathway or whatever you call it in my mind, mm-hmm. that I realized that if I'm going through something, I know from my experience, maybe it will take years, but eventually things will happen. Like, just keep moving and something will happen. Mm-hmm. This always works, but it's just like you don't know how long you have to work for.
Yeah, for sure. I think... You never know where life's going to take you. Like, I imagine that when you were taking those exams in China, like, I don't think you assumed, like, I'm going to end up in Vancouver one day, right?
I know, like, being a host for this broadcasting show and talking about all these experiences. So, that's why I really love to talk about, like, cross-cultural experience and how people fit in or deal with cross-industry experience, change to a new job. Because I have tons of experience of, like, for me, I wasn't trying to be brave. I think I was being ignorant. Mm. But that ignorance made me just get there. And once I got here, I was like, and I experienced something really challenging, you know. And I deal with myself, right? So I was like... I think I remember a K-pop star said the similar thing. Is that after all this, I was thinking, after all this, I'm not going to give it up. Like, literally, it's just like, after all this, if I wanted to enjoy my time and lay down and chill, I would love to do that in Chengdu. And
right.
So, yeah, so there's no point to... But then things worked out, right? So, yeah.
Okay, I mean, that's awesome to hear. And yeah, you said this is like the third episode of Call Me Negotiator now?
As official show.
As officially.
We run like for 2 months,
okay.
as open mic, as trial.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I really enjoyed it. I tried to involve different kind of guests here.
Yeah.
I realized that in Vancouver, it's the perfect place to have like diverse community talking about their experiences. Like,
for sure.
Even you, right? You grew up here, and you can easily pull all this, but it's not exotic, but then the experience that normal people wouldn't have. Normal people, how would I define normal people?
I guess, like, or that a lot of other people wouldn't have here. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, because at this point, you've interviewed Connor, you've interviewed Nicole.
We talked.
You talked, not interviewed. You had a conversation with Connor, you had a conversation with Nicole.
Mm.
I guess, does that mean Magnus and Jesse are next?
Oh, I hope so. Well, I have some guests who are booked.
Okay.
So, because I'm like really like going to the events and trying to know people. But I do really hope that they can come to my show. Because I realized that if I don't talk to you, I actually really don't get to know you deeper. Mm-hmm. And you never would ask me back about my story.
Yeah,
and my experience. And then I had the chance to share all this thing and digest myself. At this point, I'm pretty numb, especially I do content creation for a while. And sometimes, you know, people, most of the people are really nice and positive, especially our audiences, to be honest, and not trying to like please them or something.
You're all so nice. Thank you very much.
Yeah. But like some people are just being like, you know, an ass. And then I'm pretty numb because over the time, I realized that whatever people say and the tone, the way they put that way, really represent how they think.
Mm-hmm.
Like not really trying to point fingers, but you can read the emotion from the tone, and then you understand their emotion, you kind of can read their mind through the screen. And when you can read their mind, you know their insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of feel, in the beginning I feel petty, but now I kind of feel this, not love, I don't know, I have to find a word, but like
compassion.
Yeah, compassion. And you know, because you've been there. Like I've been there. Like, oh, I was insecure, that's why I'm saying something that sounds like being jealous, that sounds like attacking or offensive, but that could come from my deep insecurity. So I feel that, and then I kind of understand, so I don't really get offended.
Right.
But I hope it not happen really real often though.
Yeah. I don't think it should be good. I mean, I definitely get like when I first started interviewing people like for my job, like I was so nervous before every interview, and I still get like really nervous, I think, before like any kind of interview that I have to do a lot of research for. I often find though that like most of the time you end up interviewing people that aren't used to doing that.
Oh yeah.
So they end up being also really nervous.
Super nervous.
And like in a way, like I feel like when someone else is nervous, it makes me feel less nervous.
Because
I'm like, oh, okay, you also have no idea what you're doing. Which I mean, I don't literally mean that, but like in a way I think that's kind of nice. Like everyone is just sort of figuring it out as they go, and that's one thing I really like about this job, is it does feel like a lot of figuring things out as I go, and you never know where that'll lead you. You know, maybe it'll be like the best interview of your life. Maybe you'll end up in Vancouver, you know, after being in China your entire life. You know, like you never know where these experiences take you. So
I really agree, because I realize from my own experience, and also I read books or watch videos of all those super successful people sharing their ideas, their experiences, and I do trust them. I know a lot of people say they're just saying whatever to trick you, but I don't think so a lot of time, because my own experience proved to me that those things aligns, where you have to try things and you get confused. And my strategy is that you try a wide range of the things. You talk to a wide range of people. Not everyone, but then you will get good sample base. That something, one thing will work out. So if I keep talking to people and having conversations, and sometimes their idea hits, or some people who are introduced to someone that brings you the new pathway. And that's something really worked for me. And I'm like, I truly appreciate it. And I also really wanted to share something that I learned from a speaker. And I was trying to figure things out. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I have no idea what to do. So you guys look pretty professional and been working on your jobs for years. Could you share me something that, you know, I can be more confident and carry it on? And I remember this guest, she said, I'm not so sure if this makes you feel better, but the fact is nobody knows what they're doing and how to do.
Yeah, for real.
That is
very true.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, being here at the station for as long as I have, I think you learn that maybe it's not necessarily that people don't know what they're doing, but it's just that no one has, like, all the answers, you know?
Oh, yes.
Everyone's style in terms of like interviewing or radio content is going to be different. So, you know, myself or Jesse or Nicole or Connor can kind of give you suggestions or like guide you to where you want to go in terms of the radio that you do. But like we're never going to be the ones instructing you exactly how to do it, because like that's entirely up to you and what you want to do. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Because, yeah, like to talk to even some of my clients, they want to be like, I want to do a broadcasting show, live streaming show that's cross-cultural focused. Mm-hmm. Basically exactly what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But the thing is, like, I figured this out, or I created this niche, is because I've been exploring and see what works for me. And you'd be thinking about it, and you try a little bit, and maybe you try A, B, you like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and none of them really works.
Mm-hmm.
But then one piece of that trial will kind of benefit or get into your mind, like neural pathway.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. And then when you try the 6th thing or the 11th thing, and you find you're picking up some skills, and then sometimes all of a sudden at one point, all features worked at the same time, and boom, there's something created. And at that time, when you look back, you're like, oh, this is how things are created. This is how you figure out things. You figure out along the way.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that I have anything else to add to that. I think like that is pretty succinct, you know, that
yeah.
We are all just like a collection of our own experiences, and we all ended up here because one way or another, because of what we've gone through and what we've experienced. And I think that's really beautiful that, like, especially like as of late, I feel like we've had so many new people at the station, and it's really cool being able to hear like hour to hour a new voice and like new ideas, new perspectives, new songs too. I mean, I love all the music that gets played here at the station, so that's awesome too.
I really appreciate that. I mean, unfortunately we have to wrap it up for today, but I really had fun talking about this because Danny is super good at asking questions. I think he really inspired me to share a lot of experiences and lessons that I've been having through those challenging life experience, and I'm still trying to figure it out. Like, I love exploring new things and taking challenges. Like, I feel like this station is really like a home. So I'm no longer homeless in terms of like,
you have like your community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like for this specific part, and at the same time, I'm trying new things. Even like I told people earlier, my friend pushes me to try a dance class, and then it turns out it became like a fitness dance. It was like super fast and super busy. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I was 100% focused on doing this cardio, right?
Yeah.
So I loved it. Maybe I would try that and you will probably fail. But yeah, like in the future, hopefully, we do have a few guests booked our show for the upcoming episodes until February. Otherwise, I would love to have Danny for our next show continue this conversation. But then I guarantee you guys, I will find a gap to have him back, and then we can continue to talk about this kind of philosophical topic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
Well, thank you so much, Charlotte, for having me on Call Me Negotiator. Great, great conversation. And thanks for doing this show.
No, thank you. Thank you so much for saving my life. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you. 山，在天幕深处缓缓升